Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use the promo code BBALL25 to get a $25 deposit bonus. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or at Amazon. Hello, my name is Mark Roberts, and I am joined tonight by Kyle McEwen and Tyler Watts. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going good, Mark. Thanks for talking to me tonight, man. I really missed you.
You bet. Thanks, man. Tyler, how are you doing?
Oh, can't complain, Mark. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. All right, guys. Tonight we're going to do one of the things that we've been requested of quite a bit lately, and that is talk about some of the players that are going in the first round of drafts and who we would pair with them. It's a topic we discuss often on our podcast, which is, you know, rankings, while they're important and they're useful, a lot of times it's just as important to make sure you're pairing the right players together in a way that will build your team. So we're going to be specifically looking at head-to-head leagues tonight, looking at our head-to-head rankings and talking about, okay, so if you take Curry in the first round, who's a good person to pair with him in the second or maybe third round? And maybe more broadly than just players, what stats are you looking for to build a competent team? Because, again, while it would be great to just pick the guy highest in the rankings, you also want to make sure that they mesh well together.
Right. This is more of an argument for team building than it is for picking the best available player. Essentially, we're saying don't pick the best available player. Build your team right.
Right. So pick who you want in the first round. And then in the second round, make sure that the player complements. Now, Kyle, just as a general, before we dive into the players, with your next pick, are you – so say you pick somebody in the first round, which is, I guess, a fair you will do. You pick somebody in the first round. Is your second pick, do you want to build on your first pick's strengths, or are you looking to balance his weaknesses?
I think it's super important that if you want to be really serious about your draft and come to understand where players are getting drafted on a given site, whether that's Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, get on to your site that's hosting your league, do some mock drafts. That's going to be the biggest tool for you, helping you out more than us talking about this, because it's going to give you an idea of where guys are going and who might drop to you in your draft. We're going to be talking, as Mark already said, primarily about head-to-head leagues. So we're looking at the six main positive counting stats, points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, three-pointers, as those are what kind of inform our rankings. And we're not putting as much weight on field goal percentage and free throw percentage, because we're trying to build kind of a wealth of counting stats to both insulate us from injuries on our team and to insulate us from weird schedule quirks that may have a guy only playing two games in a given week. The hope is that by concentrating on the counting stats instead of accounting for the percentages in the rankings, that you build up such a stable of good counting stats that you can then, if one guy is out during a given week or going to play lesser games, you can add somebody off the waiver wire who's going to be able to make up the difference there, since so many of the players that you do add off the waiver wire are specialists. They're only going to be really good in probably one stat or maybe two.
Yeah,
does that sound good?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I like about that strategy, just to give it a quick plug, is that, you know, if you're focusing on the other categories, like if you had percentages or turnovers, it becomes pretty hard. Like if you're trying to win free throw percentage, the people that you can pick up off the waiver wire gets diminished quite a bit. Like you have to cut out. So say you're trying to win free throw percentage, but the stat that you really need to pick up is blocks. Like as you try to look through the guys on the waiver wire that you can pick up for a Saturday, Sunday game that will block shots and not hurt your free throw percentage, like that becomes pretty difficult. But if you're only worried about positive accounting categories, then whoever you're picking up is not going to hurt you in those other categories. They might not help you a lot, but they're not going to diminish the lead that you've already built.
Yep. And so when I'm picking and I'm using head-to-head punt strategy where I'm punting the two percentages, field goal percentage and free throw percentage, and I'm concentrating on these six positive stats, I forgot what I was just about to say.
Well,
so let's just get into this conversation.
I do want to ask you though one more time. So if you pick a guy, so if we're focused on six categories, and you pick a guy in the first round who's good at four or five categories, When you turn around in the second and third rounds, are you looking to build on those categories a little bit more and really strengthen them in the first three rounds? Or are you looking and saying, hey, the guy who picked is good at these four categories, I want to make sure I'm good at the other two in the second round?
In most cases, you always want to keep your eye open to filling the holes that you have on your team. But at the same point, if you know you're going to be able to get some categories in the fourth or fifth round, then but those other ones you already got in the first round, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not looking at guys in the second round like Kyle Lowry or Kemba Walker, because I can get D'Angelo Russell in the fourth round and he's going to put up almost virtually the exact same statistics as those guys. So from that perspective, it's really about who you can get, and that's going to kind of lead where I'm coming from in a lot of my conversation.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about some specific – well, Tyler, let me kick that same question to you, and then we'll get into some specific players here. How do you approach leagues where you're punting categories? Are you – when you pick somebody who's good at most but not all of the categories that you're trying for, how do you try to build your team after that first pick?
I'm usually trying to even it out a little bit in the second round, but I'm also like Kyle said, I've got my eye on the third, fourth, fifth round. So like, if I know there's a player I'm targeting in a certain round, like I have taken that into account too. So like, I mean, I'm kind of doing both ways, I guess.
Sounds about right. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about the players at the very top of the draft, and really the top three almost in any format this year. That everybody's looking at is James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Steph Curry. Interestingly enough, they all are basically weak in the same category, and that's blocks. And really pretty good everywhere else, right? Like Curry's rebounds are a little bit low. James Harden's rebounds, we project him for about six a game. That's on the lower side. But everywhere else, three-pointers, assists, steals, points, like they're all really solid, which is why they're at the top of the draft. So if we pick one of those top three, let's say we get one of the top three picks, we end up with Harden, Westbrook, or Curry, and we have a need at maybe rebounds and blocks in the second and third round, who are some guys, Kyle, that you would target to try to make up for those areas in the second and third rounds?
If you're getting one of these three guys, you're picking at the very start of the first round. So you're going to be at the end of the second round when it comes back to you. And my favorite player to pick is Kristaps Porzingis. One of his worst categories is field goal percentage, and that might even improve this season with him just taking a natural growth step. But Porzingis gives you elite blocks. He gives you rebounds. He gives you elite scoring. He's going to give you three-pointers. There's not much to like to dislike about what you'd get out of Kristaps and how that would pair with any of those top three guys.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. We've got him ranked 19th in our head-to-head rankings, right near the top of the league in blocks. He's also going to add those three-pointers to you as well. And that might, if you draft Curry, you'd probably be fine. But Westbrook is – compared to Harden and Curry, a little light on three-pointer. So I feel like he'd particularly be a good matchup with Westbrook, where Porzingis isn't an elite rebounder. And, to put Westbrook's and Porzingis' rebounds and three-pointers together, I think they make up for each other's deficiencies pretty well. What about this, Kyle? What would you think about if I did this? What if I picked, let's say, Curry or Westbrook at the first pick, and then I put Porzingis and another big like Andre Drummond, where I'm getting a whole bunch of rebounds and some blocks there as my second and third picks?
I love that. I love getting Drummond in the third round of my head-to-head leagues. He's really low in the rankings on Yahoo. He's pretty low in the rankings on ESPN. So you can get Drummond at a really good value. He's going to give you potentially elite scoring, obviously elite rebounds. You're going to get maybe great blocks, but definitely good blocks out of Drummond. You hope that he blocks more shots this season. And because we're punting the percentages or ignoring them, we're not worried about the fact that Drummond sucks at free throw percentage. And if you take free throw percentage out of Drummond's ranking, it makes him so much more valuable.
Yeah. It makes things so much simpler, right? Like We all want our lives to be simpler, and that makes things so much easier. You can just look at his 14 rebounds or 15 rebounds and two blocks and run with it.
I guess so who would you pick if you had to choose between DeAndre and Andre, though?
So for me, and I'd be interested to get Tyler's thoughts on this as well, so I'll kick it over to him real quick. But for me, I would go with Andre Drummond for the simple fact that he's going to score more points. And at the top of the draft, we've talked about this for years, Kyle. If you don't get points at the top of the draft, you're not going to get points. So the gap between and they're fairly close in my rankings, but the gap between DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond is entirely because I projected Drummond to score 4 more points a game than DeAndre Jordan, and that's tough to make up later in the draft. So for me, I'd take Drummond. Tyler, what about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Drummond. I mean, you get the 4 more points, and you get another half a steal. And basically, you know, you're losing half a block if you pick Jordan, but you're getting half a steal. I'm always picking Drummond over Jordan.
Kyle, do you have any counter argument there? I know Drummond's on your team, so maybe you don't want to go there, but
no, not at all.
Fair enough. All right, Tyler. So if we aren't fortunate enough to get one of those top 3 picks, who would you recommend in a head-to-head league for fourth? I know we have Wall, Paul George, Kevin Durant, and a couple other players. You know, Anthony Davis, kind of the top of our rankings, but in a bunch essentially, with all essentially the same auction value. Who is your favorite among that group?
If I got the fourth pick, I'm probably picking Kevin Durant. I mean, I just think that he has the potential to be crazy. And everyone's worried about, oh, the Warriors, they might only play 3 quarters and all this. But, I mean, he's Kevin Durant. Like, he's going to be good no matter what, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the only category that Kevin Durant has any weakness in, really, is steals. And you expect, okay, if he's doing less on offense for the Warriors, or if he's just getting easier shots on the Warriors, which he's going to be because he's not doing all this one-on-one ISO crap like he was on the Thunder, then maybe Durant can go out and get an extra half a steal a game, or maybe he can go out and get close to 2 blocks a game. We know that he can block shots in bunches, but there's like stretches of the season. If you go back and look through Kevin Durant's game log, there's stretches of the season where he'll block a couple of shots for several game stretch, and then he'll just stop blocking shots or only block 1 shot for a whole month every single game. But he definitely has the potential and the ability to do more there, and we might see that this season.
Yeah, and so I'd be interested to know where you guys would go. Look in the second round if you picked Durant in the first round.
I'm going to sound like a broken record to people right now, because the thing Porzingis. Is about Kristaps Porzingis. I would take him at the start of the second round. Say I've got the 12th pick in a 12-team draft, and I took Giannis at the end of the first round. If Hassan Whiteside's not there, if DeMarcus Cousins isn't there, I would take Kristaps over somebody like Paul George, because I think that the blocks that you get out of Kristaps and just the overall stat profile you get from Kristaps is better than the overall stat profile or harder to replace than what you'd get from, like, Paul George.
Fair enough. Tyler, do you have a direction you would go with if you pick Durant? What are you looking for in the second round?
If I pick Durant, I mean, I'm looking at Porzingis. I'm looking at Drummond again. I mean, I just think that Drummond's crazy rebounding. Like, I mean, no one else is going to give you that. So, I mean, like, I like to get him in the second round just to own him.
There's something about playing in a head-to-head league. You only have 3 or 4 games in a given week. So when you have somebody who can go out and grab 48 rebounds in 3 games, I mean, nobody else – there's only one guy who can do that. So from that perspective, you love having him on your team because he can single-handedly give you a distinct advantage in rebounds. He's going to be a good field goal percentage guy for you. He's going to be a good points guy for you with upside there. And then you hope that he rebounds in the blocks a little bit after he had a dip last season, Drummond.
So if I took Durant, now Durant is good at assists, like especially for his position, and just overall, we project him about 5 assists a game. That could even go up a little bit. But for me, I'm looking for somebody who can pair with his assist total and get that higher, because you know, that's for me is a tougher one to find later in the draft. So this might be a Yahoo only play, but John Wall is going like, what did we see? 26, 30 in the Yahoo leagues.
He's going 20th overall on ADP on Yahoo. He's going 16 ADP on ESPN. So,
that's probably, you're probably not going to get him then. I was thinking he was in like the 20. If he happens to fall though, someone like Wall, where you can get elite assists, I would probably go that direction. Yep. Even, I know you said you don't want to draft this guy, but somebody like Lowry, if he fell, I would probably look for Lowry or another point guard to pair with Durant, so that I can make sure I'm pretty short up in that assist category. That actually kind of brings us to our next guy, Karl-Anthony Towns, who is going in the first round. Obviously very good at many categories, but the categories he's going to struggle in are the same a little bit as Kevin Durant, which is steals and assists. And probably, although we expect him to shoot and make some three-pointers this season, be a little light on the three-point category. So any different approach that you would take with Karl-Anthony Towns as opposed to Durant? Or are you kind of looking at the same approach, Kyle?
I guess just to lay it out completely, when you look at
Before I ask you to keep going, I would probably throw Anthony Davis into that exact same discussion. Yep. Yeah,
absolutely. Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, it's like the same player.
You're just going to get 90 games from one of them and less than 70 from another.
Correct. There's you got more injury risk from Anthony Davis. So, I mean, if we're talking in just those two guys, I'd rather have Karl-Anthony Towns.
Although, in fairness, in the games that he plays, I would expect Anthony Davis to score probably a few more points a game than Karl-Anthony Towns. So he maybe has a higher ceiling, but I would totally take Towns just for the durability factor.
Word. And, it seems like there's a little bit more potential blocks-wise with Anthony Davis, but the all-around game potential from Karl-Anthony Towns seems even greater than what Anthony Davis's is when you project out their entire careers. A lot of people are overreacting to Anthony Davis's injury issues in certain respects, but at the same time, I still do let them inform me a little bit. I will let them let me drop it. So anyways, but if you're looking at who to target, my main thing about drafts right now is that there's a lot of good point guards in the middle rounds. So whether it's Goran Dragic, Mike Conley, D'Angelo Russell, even throwing in some guards who score a lot of points, Devin Booker, Evan Fournier, there's all these guys that are available in the fourth round or fifth round. And when you start to look at Jeremy Lin, possibly the sixth or seventh round. So you got all these guys who are good, high-potential point guards available a couple rounds later. So early in my drafts, I'm taking the best player available in general in the first round. But in the second round and third round, I'm often looking big again because I know that there's a lot of good guards available just a couple rounds later.
Interesting. So, and that approach makes sense. I understand what you're saying. But I guess I would have thought if you were going to deviate from that strategy with any players, it might be Davis or Towns, you know. But you're saying even if you pick Karl-Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis, you would still kind of lean towards going with a big guy.
I just think Kristaps Porzingis is the highest potential player in that second round. And he's playing with Derrick Rose, who either might get thrown in jail or injured, and Carmelo Anthony, who has a history of injuries, nagging injuries that kind of always seem to keep him out of games. So, Jeff Hornacek isn't going to keep Porzingis' minutes low this season. He isn't going to shy away from giving Porzingis as much responsibility as he can handle. So if we see Carmelo and Rose out for periods of times this season, Kristaps is going to be the first option, and he might go out there and do some stuff that's even more incredible than what he already did last season.
Let me ask you this, Kyle. Is there anybody that's going in the first round generally that your first preference wouldn't be to pair them with Porzingis?
I just don't think there's anybody unless I got John Wall with the 20th pick in a 10-team draft yesterday. Or might have been like the 18th or 19th pick. But anyways, like unless John Wall's dropping to you at the end of the second round, I'm taking Kristaps Porzingis there over everybody else.
So yeah, that's the guy you're looking to pair everybody with.
For real. And like I said, though, that is informed from the fact that you get to a certain point in the draft later where those really good rebounds and blocks guys, especially if say you don't want to punt the percentages in your head-to-head league, well, Kristaps, he may not have the best field goal percentage, but he also has potential there to improve it dramatically this season.
Right. And is a very good free throw shooter.
Holla.
If you want to go that direction. All right, so let's pretend Kristaps Porzingis is gone for the sake of conversation.
Never.
We might have to do a podcast where we pretend you take him first. Let's pretend you and I play in the same league. I take Porzingis. Who are you looking to put with your big guys then? Like if you take Towns or Davis or maybe even throw Cousins into that mix.
Yeah, totally. I like Kyrie Irving more in my rotisserie leagues. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I didn't have Kristaps, I'd be looking really hard at Andre Drummond. That's mm-hmm.
really so, even so, with I mean, those guys.
Yeah, because well. Just because I'm targeting my point guards a little bit later. So,
yeah,
and I've been getting Drew Holiday at like pick 100 in a, or you know the eighth or ninth round in a lot of leagues right now. Maybe even 10th round. I got him at pick 99 last night. And people are just – look, Drew Holiday's not injured right now. As long as everything goes well with his family, which, you know, we all hope it does, and then he should be back. And when he does come back, at probably the start of December or maybe a little bit later, Drew Holiday's not – he doesn't have to come back from an injury, you know. He's going to slot right in. He's going to start just getting buckets and dropping dimes.
Yeah, exactly. And there are, you know, in addition to the young point guards that you've mentioned, if you do lose out on assists, there's head-to-head, the rankings that we use becomes much easier to draft guys like Rubio and Rondo.
Yep.
Who have some serious flaws with their fantasy game. But if you're not worried about percentages, both of those guys shoot up the rankings pretty quickly. Like Rubio's 25th in our ranking, Rondo's 40th. And if you've missed out on assists, there's an easy way to get 9 assists from just picking one of those guys and potentially compare both of them together. One guy that I like drafting in the second round to go along with some of these guys, Durant, Anthony Davis, Cousins, anybody that scores a lot of points and maybe isn't great at assists in the defensive categories, steals specifically, is Draymond Green. I know that some folks are scared of him with all the people that Golden State has added, but it's not like points was his category to begin with. You know, he's never averaged a ton of points. His fantasy value has come from the amount of assists he's gotten, the amount of three-pointers, steals, blocks, just his across-the-board production. And so if you can make up for his points somewhere else, I don't expect him to be much lower in any of those categories, so I don't mind targeting him in the second round as well.
I do feel like I'm reluctant to go after guys who don't score, you know, at least, shoot, I'd say close to 18 to 20 points in the second round. And Draymond is a guy who only gets about 12 and a half.
Yeah, 13. I don't think you can expect more than 13 points from him. So that's why I only think it makes sense if you're going with Curry, Harden, Westbrook, Durant, Davis, or Cousins.
I think it's a little bit easier to find points a little bit deeper this year because there are so many breakout players. Devin Booker is a 20-point scorer who's going to be available in like the fourth round. Goran Dragic should approach, you know, he's going to score more this season. Evan Fournier is a 20-point scorer who you can get. Jabari Parker you can get in later rounds. There's Jeremy Lin's going to score not 20 points, but he's going to get probably 16 or so. So there are guys who score more points who are going to be available later in drafts than I think we usually see. So if you did want to go after a guy like Draymond who doesn't score as much in the second round but gives you great across-the-board stats, I definitely see that as a, you know, legit strategy.
Tyler, what about you? Are you interested in Draymond Green in the second round, or are you shying away from him?
I mean, I definitely picked Draymond Green in the second round just because, I mean, you're getting – point guard assists from a big man. And so, I mean, anyone that you slot in your point guard slot from there, I mean, it's basically like starting two point guards then. And so it gives you the opportunity to target some of these other guys like Devin Booker, who are going to score. And I mean, Booker's going to even get you some assists. So, I mean, I'm a fan of Draymond. I'm usually back in the second round. I'm going for him, though. So he sometimes gets picked a little before I'm on him.
Are either of you worried that he's not going to get the same assist that he did last year?
Yes, but it may not be reduced too much. He's still going to be able to bring the ball up the court and initiate the offense. They're probably going to stagger minutes a lot. And they're going to play at such a fast pace that everybody's going to get touches.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see I just kind of feel like Draymond Green's going to get his, you know, like that seems like his personality, which might be a stupid way to evaluate fantasy players, but
he's an energy guy who turned that energy into great production. Something Kenneth Fareed never did. The thing about Draymond, if he's not getting his somewhere, like if he's,
yeah,
like if he doesn't get any rebounds because Golden State doesn't miss any shots,
which is a distinct possibility. Yeah.
Exactly. Then you might see more steals, more blocks from Draymond. Like, or maybe he goes and rebounds more because he's not getting as much. Like, Draymond doesn't care. He's just out there to win. So he's going to try to collect as many stats as possible, but he's not going to be selfish about it.
Agreed. All right, let's move on now. Talk about a couple of small forwards. Kyle, I'm thinking this is your favorite player this year to draft. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let's talk about him, who probably – what is his only weakness? Three-pointers, I guess.
I was talking about Thon Maker with my roommate the other day, and I accidentally called Thon Maker Thonis. Like a mixture of Thon and Giannis.
I have to admit, so you shared some clips with me from their game where they had Antetokounmpo on the floor, they had Thon Maker on the floor, they had Parker on the floor.
John Henson and Brogdon.
And you couldn't basically couldn't tell who was who. It just looked like arms were everywhere.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I kind of, like, maybe for the first time got the vision of where Jason Kidd has taken this thing.
It's interesting. We'll see what happens. To elaborate really quickly on what Mark was talking about, the video that came out was in Thonmaker's first start during the preseason at center. They used him as a perimeter defender in the half court, and they used him as a full court press defender pretty much the whole time that he was in the game. So he'd be pressing the ball the whole way up the court, and it was causing a lot of havoc for the Pacers. So it's interesting to see what would happen, and when they use Thonmaker in that defensive position, you're essentially capable of playing him at any position because
that's what was cool when I saw it, because I was like, when you sent it to me and you were like, hey, Thonmaker is playing on the perimeter, I was kind of going like, well, okay, but who's guarding the basket, right? Like, if he's out there, they must have a weakness. And no, like, John Henson with his go-go gadget arms is under there, and like Giannis can be there, and Parker can be there, and it's just like there is no deficiency by him putting Thonmaker out on the perimeter.
Giannis blocked Miles Turner's shot the other day without jumping. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But that's so Giannis. Here's my case for Giannis. I would consider taking Giannis in head-to-head leagues where you're not necessarily worried about the percentages. I would consider taking him fourth overall behind Harden and Westbrook and Curry. And that's because you get those two blocks and those great assists out of Giannis. He's multi-position eligibility. That's not necessarily my biggest concern. It's how many players can you actually get elite assists and elite blocks out of, and Giannis is one guy who can do that.
So let's just interject here. There was a trade in the NBA yesterday. Michael Carter-Williams is now a member of the Chicago Bulls. Tony Snell is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and according to Coach Jason Kidd, it could start, although Jason Kidd has never been the most honest and forthright coach, so that remains to be seen. But what I do know for sure is there are fewer point guards now on Milwaukee than there used to be. really, what do we have? We have Jason Terry, if you want. I mean, he's a shooting guard. You've got Matthew Dellavedova, and you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, right?
Yep. It's the Giannis show, man.
It really is. I don't know what they're going to do if one of those guys get injured, but that's – I mean, Deli's not really a point guard either. He's a Patrick Beverley-type point guard in my mind, somebody who plays the position nominally and defensively, but he's not a creator.
But he still gets a decent number of assists, like, per minute.
You're talking about Dellavedova?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I guess my point is, I think Antetokounmpo is the full-time. Oh, yeah, I don't even know who the second creator is on that team.
Well, Malcolm Brogdon can do a little bit, but that's a rookie. so I'm with you. I don't really know either. But what you just got at there, though, was the fact that they don't have any other ball handlers. It's Giannis and it's Matthew Dellavedova, and Giannis is the first option. Giannis is going to bring the ball up the court. There's no telling what this kid's ceiling is. He's 21 years old still going into the season. And at the second half of last year.
I can't believe he's only 21. I feel like we were talking about him 4 years ago.
We were. That's how advanced we are in our fantasy basketball knowledge.
Let me ask you this. Are you concerned at all about his – so compared to the other first-rounders, so not a true deficiency, but maybe a first-round deficiency is points scored. Like the fact that he might be in the 18 to 22 range where Harden, Curry, and Westbrook are in like the 26 to 30-point range.
I wouldn't take Giannis before Harden or before Westbrook in head-to-head. But Curry, Kevin Durant, if you want to say we don't know what's going to happen, well then, you know what? You don't know exactly what's going to happen with Giannis this year, but he gave us a really good taste at this end of last season. And if you're worried about Golden State resting, maybe that's an issue that you're concerned about. Giannis is a guy who should be fighting for a playoff spot the whole season. So,
no, but my point is, are you in the second round? Are you thinking like, you know, maybe compared to the other first rounders, Giannis isn't going to score quite as many points, so I need to target points in the second round?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. If I drafted Giannis, I'd be much more reluctant to draft Draymond Green just because of Draymond's lower scoring.
Drummond, even, I would say. I mean, certainly DeAndre Jordan at that point, you're probably crossing off your list.
Who would you target? I mean, I'd still be looking at Kristaps and John Wall, obviously. look, dude, if my second round pick, go look at that list of guys. They all suck, except for Kristaps, for the most part.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with maybe a good Lillard is obviously not falling that low. That would be a nice pairing, although maybe you could get them in the at the swing picks. Get Lillard and Giannis. Kyrie Irving maybe comes into play at that point, right? He with his 23 year points or so.
I say as long as you're not taking Draymond or another guy who you know, like Ricky Rubio, obviously you're not taking yet. As long as you're not taking anybody who just has a very low points total, I think you're going to be okay. I'd be all right with Drummond, but I wouldn't be all right with DeAndre Jordan.
Here's one I want to throw out. How about Giannis and Hassan Whiteside? Say you're like at the end of that first round, kind of in the turn. Would you do that pairing?
That's my favorite pairing to take if you get lucky and you can take Giannis at the end of the first and Hassan at the start of the second, that's my favorite pairing to start my team with, because you're going to win blocks. You're going to be awesome in rebounds. You got enough scoring with those two, and there's potential for both of them to score more than what anybody's projecting. I just feel like you cover so many different things with getting Giannis and Hassan early, and then you can really – start to pad your stats in other places and focus on getting your point guards or what have you.
Yeah, it feels like from there, it's not even assists to me that I would worry about if I went with that pairing. And I've seen you take those guys, so I know those are guys you'd like. I would worry about points. I know that doesn't seem to concern you as much, but I, you know, I think I've got Giannis projected for 18. I've got Whiteside projected for 14. Realize they both have upside from there. But if I'm going against somebody who picked Russell Westbrook in the first round and, I don't know, Porzingis in the second round, I feel like I've got a deficiency there. And then I think three-pointers, you've actually got a pretty big deficiency. And so I think if you do go that route, I think the next time you come around to your picks, you've got to sort of target those couple of categories. Try to grab some three-pointers, try to grab some points, which luckily go together. I mean, almost seems like you're describing, and I don't know if he'll fall this low, but somebody like CJ McCollum, right, who's going to shoot a bunch of three-pointers and score a bunch of points.
And, you know, he's another one of those guys that I kind of put in that lump of point guards that people are taking in the second and third round. It's can get somebody else similar to him in the fourth or fifth round, because if you're looking at taking – I'm sorry, who did you just say? What shooting guard did you just say?
I just said McCollum.
You said McCollum. Devin Booker, you know, like just get Booker two rounds later. I don't know. That's the way I keep looking at it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, actually. DeMar DeRozan a little bit later. Wiggins, somebody like – and again, those two, I guess, don't shoot three-pointers. So I'm trying to find somebody. Russell probably is a good pickup if you can get him at your third or fourth pick.
Jeremy Lin's going to hit three-pointers this year. You can get Trevor Ariza later if you want.
Jeremy Lin.
Oh, why not? He's him and Brooke Lopez, 1 and 1A, you know, or 1A and 1B, however you want to say it.
What a team.
I feel like
here's why I like that pairing so much is I always feel like there's three-pointers like you can find late too. Like there's always guys that I'm looking like, okay, this guy could hit some three-pointers. Like, and so, I mean, I'm a big fan of that pairing because it gives you the option to kind of go anywhere you want with your next pick, assuming that
which pairing are you talking about? Giannis at Whiteside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I always feel like I can find a guy who like is going to nail some three-pointers like real late if I really think I have a deficiency in that category.
Rodney Hood might be a good option a little bit later.
There you go. Folks, you got guys like Fournier. I mean, like there's always guys who are going to nail three-pointers, right? Because everyone shoots three-pointers now.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. Everybody's shooting three-pointers this year. Brooke Lopez is shooting three-pointers. Marc Gasol's taking at least 4-point attempts per game we're hearing now out of Fizdale.
That just kind of moves up the curve though, right? Then it's just like, if everybody's shooting three pointers, then you're
falling behind when you're not.
Yeah. That almost makes me more worried about Whiteside and Antetokounmpo. Cause unless you're telling me that Giannis is going to start shooting some three pointers, I'm nervous.
He's going to start shooting some. The problem with Giannis is that he is so diabolically good at getting to the rack with, you know, just one step from the three-point line that it's hard for him to settle for those three-pointers. You watch this preseason, and if teams aren't guarding him out there, it's – I don't know, man. It's hard.
To be fair, that's sort of DeMar DeRozan's issue, right? Like, he can basically get to the basket whenever he needs to, and so he doesn't shoot three-pointers.
We do not give – DeMar DeRozan the same leash or excuses that we give Giannis. He does not deserve them. DeMar DeRozan is a grown man. Giannis is still 21 years old and developing. DeMar DeRozan should have learned to shoot a three-pointer many moons ago.
And so with Giannis, it's a strength, and with DeMar DeRozan, it's a weakness.
Exactly.
You can always get Mirotić late too, like if you need three-pointers. And Mark, we know how much you and Kyle.
All right, you talked me into it.
But you know what I mean? But like he's always available kind of late in your draft where he's like, okay, I need some three-pointers. There's two a game.
I feel like I'm the last person on earth that believes that Mirotić is going to be any good. I guess I'm stubborn.
Oh, no. I got Mirotić with the 110th pick last week in a points league draft. So I was fine with that. But for the most part, I've been staying away from Mirotić because Taj Gibson's going to start. Taj Gibson is going to start over here. Oh, and don't tell me that Taj Gibson's been awesome this preseason. No, he hasn't. Okay?
He's been Taj Gibson.
He's been dominating a little bit against bums, all right? You go He's shooting like 70% from the field this preseason, and that's because he's been playing against hobos and he's been getting easy dunks right at, you know, just getting left open. People aren't playing defense on him because he's Taj Gibson. They're not worried about Taj Gibson. He's not good. Good luck, Chicago Bulls fans. Your team sucks this year.
And your coach is clueless.
Hey.
All right, let's talk about a couple small forwards here. Paul George and LeBron James, sort of similar stat profiles by this point in their career. LeBron, well, he's probably still the best player in the league. His stats aren't quite what they used to be. Who are guys that you, outside of Kristaps Porzingis, who are guys that you would might want to pair with those two, Kyle?
When we're talking, this would be a different conversation if we were talking about rotisserie and we were obsessing about the percentages. But given the fact that we're playing head-to-head, we're talking about the fact that we put a premium on the counting stats, it's hard to look past guys like Kristaps, who gives you elite blocks and potentially elite rebounds.
So your answer to my question of who besides Kristaps Porzingis would you look at is Kristaps Porzingis?
I'm just saying, like, based on where you're drafting and, you know, at this time, it's hard to look past him. And I wouldn't be looking really past Andre Drummond at that point in time. Look, I think it's okay to take Nikola Jokic in the second round. Late.
Maybe that's the point of the conversation we're at. Who are other guys in like the second and third round are you guys liking to pick? So one of yours is Jokic, Kyle.
Brooke Lopez like always comes him? At a terrific value. I think if Carmelo Anthony falls far enough, I like getting him late in the third round if you can get him there. But there's only a couple guys who I think show upside and who are going to help me in really in stats that become rare later that I want to make sure are on my team. And if you miss out on blocks early,
is a tough one.
It can be really hard to find good blocks later. So that's why I'm focusing on that in my second round, because like we talked about a little bit earlier ago, there's so many good point guards in the third, fourth, fifth round that you can go after. So I want my big man stats early in the draft.
Tyler, who are some other guys that you are interested in looking at in the second, third rounds?
Well, a pairing that I made in a mock draft the other day, which I wasn't sure that I loved it and I wasn't sure that I hated it, was LeBron James and DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins fell to the second round. And
that's awesome.
I was like, but then I was like worried about the blocks a little bit. But then as the draft went on, like I filled them and I thought it was a pretty amazing team. But I mean, I don't know that Cousins is going to fall the second round every draft. But I mean, at those top guys. I mean, I think Cousins sometimes gets the hate of some of those top guys.
I think people hate – when you think about DeMarcus Cousins, you think about him sitting out random games at the end of last season because the Kings were in turmoil as a team and he wasn't playing on away games because he wasn't traveling with the team anymore. And that – you wonder, well, okay, it's the same owner in Sacramento. Has anything really changed? Vlade Divac was there last year too, and he's still there. And I think that concerns people with DeMarcus a little bit. But I'm with you. They shouldn't really be that concerned. It seems like a good situation there with Dave Yeager, now the coach. He seems to have things running smooth. So DeMarcus is primed for a great year, and he puts up amazing across-the-board stats on pretty much every single category. The only place where you really see deficiencies with DeMarcus Cousins is in his percentages, and those are a lot of ways negligible in head-to-head.
Yeah, exactly. Can I throw one more guy at you that I like picking in the second round that I think is it's sort of similar to the Draymond Green stat profile that we described, but in some ways it is maybe a better fit for grabbing points early and targeting assists later, and that's Paul Millsap.
That's Paul Millsap's an interesting pick. He's somebody who I've been shying away from due to, in certain respects, his age, but also just from the fact that I don't know what to expect from him this year. He averaged, 2.8 blocks in the second half last year. Yep. What exactly is Paul Millsap going to give us? They started him in the last preseason game, but none of the other starters were there. Dwight Howard wasn't playing. Dennis Schroeder wasn't playing. Kyle Korver wasn't playing. So Millsap goes out and drops seven dimes all of a sudden, which is just like – what can't this guy do? So from one perspective, yeah, Paul Millsap's awesome. And his value, actually, he's coming at a decent value right now because he had that.
He's going 21st overall on ESPN leagues.
He had that minor knee issue to start camp, but now he's already back in game. So there's really no issue with Paul Millsap heading into the season. I like him in the second round from a certain perspective.
I feel like you talked yourself into it, Kyle.
I mentioned this in the last podcast, I think. I got him in the third round in an ESPN mock I did the other day.
Wow.
And I was like, it was like the very first pick in the third round. And I'm like, how can you not take Millsap here? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So yeah. I mean, we often talk about guys who can get 1 3-pointer, 1 steal and 1 block. And the truth is they're pretty rare. I think Paul Millsap has as good of a case as anybody, maybe outside of Draymond Green or maybe even better than Draymond Green, of getting 1.5 of each of those categories. Like, I think he can get you a steal and a half and a block and a half a game. And I think his 3-pointer should be pretty close there. He's going to get you, 8 to 9 rebounds a game. He's not going to be quite 20 points a game, but he should be higher than say Draymond Green. I would guess 17, 18 points a game. So really, if you're looking at the counting categories, he's not dominant in any of them aside from maybe steals, but mm-hmm. he's very good in pretty much every one of them, especially if he ups his assists. I projected him for 3.2 assists per game, but if he can up that to 4 or 5, that makes him even better. So I'd be happy to get him at towards the end of the second round to pair him with, if I could get Curry, Harden, and Westbrook and then pair them with Millsap, which is about where he's going in ESPN leagues right now, I think that would be a pretty successful start to my draft.
Hollow. I like Millsap. He good.
All right. Anybody else you guys want to mention before we sign off?
I guess we talked about all of them, didn't we? Wow.
Chris Paul, we didn't really mention. He's somebody who would go in the first round. And we didn't really make the case for if you pick somebody who gets a lead assist, I guess, so maybe let's talk about Chris Paul real quick.
Well, when you draft a guy who gets a lot of assists in the second round, you're probably going to want to go with Kristaps Porzingis.
Now I remember why we didn't keep going here.
Yeah. Look, here's my main thing about drafts right now. And I kind of already said it, but in the first round, you're picking the best available player for yourself. But from there,
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, leave Kristaps for the second round. In head-to-head, I love Giannis anywhere after the middle of the first round. But there's just so many good guys in that first round. You're not going to get a bad player. Like, I don't care. For the most part, I don't care who I have in the first round. If you told me I just had to take one of those guys, I'd be cool with it. And then, you see a guy like DeMarcus who is ranked in the second round of Yahoo, so he might go at the end of the first round or into the second round, and that's just stupid. Like, that shouldn't be happening. DeMarcus Cousins is a first-round player, and in head-to-head leagues, he's arguably a top-5 player. So the main thing that I'm seeing in drafts is that there's a lot of really good breakout players who are available in the 4th, 5th, 6th round of drafts, possibly even the 7th. And if you can put those guys kind of in your sights, I would go big men early in probably my 2nd, 3rd round. And then I would start looking at my point guards, looking at D'Angelo Russell, looking at Goran Dragic, looking at Jeremy Lin, who's going to be available a couple of rounds later than that. And as Mark pointed out too, you also have Rajon Rondo later in your head-to-head drafts. Rondo's going late as all get out.
Nobody likes Rajon Rondo anymore, so you pick him up at a little bit of a discount.
Yep. So there's just, for the most part, in the 2nd, 3rd round, I'm looking hard at big men, and Kristaps always stands out to me because he's coming at a good value and he's got good upside. Brook Lopez is good there. Look, if you're a Blake Griffin fan, go ahead, pick him up. He's going to shoot more 3-pointers this year, most likely. Carmelo, if he drops into the third round, you can get him at a really nice value.
Actually a really good pairing with, if you're going to pick Carmelo, I think Chris Paul might be the first rounder to do it, because Carmelo's best category is points. And that's probably, if you could find a deficiency in Chris Paul's fantasy game, aside from blocks, which is probably obvious, he struggles to score as many points as the other first rounders. So pairing him with the third round Carmelo Anthony is beautiful.
And once you get past the like middle of the third round, everything kind of becomes congealed. Like all the players from the middle of the third round through the middle of the sixth round, they're kind of the same value. So yep. Don't obsess if you have to reach for somebody. If you have pick 25 and you know that your next pick is not until pick 48, well, yeah, you're probably going to have to reach for somebody. And if you know, that's one of the reasons why earlier in this podcast, I talked about the fact of possibly taking Kristaps at the start of the second round on the turn. If I say I take Giannis in the first round and Hassan's not there, LeBron's not there, DeMarcus Cousins isn't there, you know, all the other quote unquote first round guys, John Wall's not there, I'm probably taking Kristaps. Right. And I might take Kristaps with Giannis just and look past John Wall because I'm already getting assists from Giannis. I consider Kristaps to be underrated at this point. But Miles Turner is somebody that you can get in the fourth round who's going to have LaMarcus Aldridge type stats with blocks included. There's just so many good upside picks to make this season in the middle rounds, specifically for point guards, that I'm going to try and get the big men in my earlier rounds a little bit harder than, especially second and third round, than maybe I have in past years.
Well said, Kyle.
Hey, thanks, man.
Here's something I'll mention that I see happening in some of the mock drafts I do. Some of the players that, I mean, maybe people just hate them. I don't know. I don't know what the case is. But, like, I see guys like Rubio, Nick Batum, like guys like that. I see them slipping a lot of times to, like, the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's like, I mean, like, there are certain players that no one likes. And at a point, like, those are the guys I find myself getting. Like, on a lot of my mock drafts I've done, I've gotten Rubio and Nick Batum both. Because, like, I think they're good players, and they do a lot of good stuff, and, like, no one seems to want them.
Rubio's field goal percentage is low, but he doesn't take a high volume or a high number of attempts. So when you look at impact, as far as how much a player impacts your given category, Paul George is going to more negatively impact your field goal percentage. Damian Lillard is going to more negatively impact your field goal percentage, I think, than what Ricky Rubio is going to do, because they take so many shot attempts at such a low percentage, whereas Rubio shoots at a lower percentage than both those guys. He just doesn't take as many shots. So, like, don't be scared off from Rubio. It sucks that he doesn't score more, but his field goal percentage, I wouldn't let that really scare you off, and he's a great source of assists and steals, elite in both those categories. As Tyler said, you know, as late as the sixth round potential in some leagues.
I totally agree. All right, guys. Thanks for your thoughts.
Is that pretty much it? That's the end of the podcast, isn't it?
I think so. You have anything else? We didn't really talk about Damian Lillard. He's another guy that if you want to grab points, I think it's a pretty good option later in the first half of later in the first round or earlier in the second round. But, you know, a little bit challenging to take him, as you mentioned, with all the point guards coming later and with him struggling to get a lot of steals. You know, his two main categories are points and three-pointers, really.
Yep.
But he's darn good at those. So,
right. I mean, look, Damian Lillard, Paul George, they're not bad picks or anything. I just personally, in most circumstances,
actually not a bad pairing together too. If you could get them both,
I like other guys. I feel like the other players contribute in categories that are harder to find later.
I think Kyle mentioned this too. Like, if you're thinking about doing a pairing like that, like, go out and try that in a mock draft and see what comes back.
Yep.
To you. Because like if Kyle's mentioning there's no big men later. So try that in a mock draft. And if you realize you don't get any good big men that you like, then you know that's probably not the strategy you want to use in your draft.
Because Jusuf Nurkić, in a really good draft, Jusuf Nurkić is going as high as the sixth round now. Like, and Jusuf Nurkić is, I mean, that's, you're not really taking a risk anymore because he's been so good, but that's somebody who you were able to take with like your last pick a couple weeks ago before the preseason started. And now you're having to take that guy potentially the sixth round. More likely you can probably get him in the eighth round. I did my hometown draft last night, and that usually informs me of players who will drop. And I got Nurkić in, I think, the eighth round. So that was pretty dope.
Excellent. And I guess that's a good way to segue into the best news of all, which is that basketball starts for reals in about a week.
Yep.
So one more week of drafting, which is my favorite part of the fantasy basketball is the draft. So go enjoy as many drafts as you can. And if you want to ask anybody on this podcast some questions about who you should draft for your specific league, you can reach out to me at Mark F. Roberts, M-A-R-C, the letter F, Roberts. And you can also reach out to Kyle McEwen at
RotoKyleNBA on the Twitter.
And Tyler at?
At Watsy4444. So my last name with a Y and four fours.
And as always, if you're looking for custom rankings or custom auction values for your upcoming draft, feel free to email us at the dfbpod@gmail.com. So the first initial of the first three words of our podcast, and then pod@gmail.com, and we can get you out custom rankings. Tyler, I think we've had well over 50 people ask for rankings so far. Is that about right?
After tonight, we're closing in on 70.
No, there you go. So if you want to get in the queue, please email us, or you can tweet at us and we'll get you in there as well.
If you have gotten rankings for us, or if you're just a listener of the podcast and you're like, hey, appreciate having the podcast, it's free, all that jazz, please go rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, any of the apps that you may listen to it on. Even just kind of rating, reviewing, it helps with the rankings. It helps kind of bring us up I already said it, the rankings. And then when what we can do is we can take a screenshot of the rankings and we can go to people and be like, yo, give us money. So it would help. So please do rate and review the podcast if you have a second. It is much appreciated.
People always tell me, hey, I already rated and reviewed the podcast. I don't know if I can do anything to help you. And I always tell them, if you've already rated and reviewed the podcast, your friend has a phone, your mom has a phone, they all have iTunes accounts. So just say, I need to borrow your phone for a few seconds. Go rate and review the podcast again. Give them back their phone and make sure to hit subscribe in their podcast
app. I'll say this too. The next person who does it's our number 100. So
there you go.
That's an incentive.
That's dope.
Yeah. Tyler will give you a free back rub or something if you rate and review the podcast.
I'll come to your house and make you a sandwich.
There you go. That's all right. Thanks again to everybody for listening. We'll be back again soon with the next episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Until then, enjoy basketball, enjoy fantasy drafts. We'll talk to you again soon.
We love you. Bye.